the idea of healing as reconnection, as fostering a sense of holistic experience, and really centering a person in their whole self. We can't ignore the body and what's coming from the information that we can glean from it.
Hi, everyone. I am Isis Garcia Rodriguez, and this is TikTok. Trauma-informed care creates a roadmap to resilience by moving away from a deficit model in which we ask you what's wrong with you to a strengths-based perspective where we ask what happened to you. In an attempt to reach all audiences, the Brigham and Women's Hospital Trauma-Informed Care Initiative is using the TikTok podcast platform to continue education and disseminate information on trauma-informed care for healthcare providers, patients, educators, and community members. Each week on TikTok, we will be discussing different topics in the healthcare field and looking at them through a trauma-informed lens. For a comprehensive list of the 6 TIC guiding principles and 3 implementation domains, according to SAMHSA, please see the 2 graphics that can be found on Twitter at ALO Boston or listen to episode 1 of this podcast. During this episode, we would like to take the time to discuss somatic symptoms of trauma and embodied healing for survivors of sexual violence as well as domestic violence. So with me today, I have Jess Loftus. She is a licensed clinical social worker and is a community program manager at Passageway in the Center for Community Health and Health Equity at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She's an expert with working with survivors of domestic and sexual violence. So Jess, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Hi, happy to be here.
So how are you feeling today? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've just come from a yoga class, so.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know it's definitely, we were just saying it's rainy and cold today in Boston, but you made the trek, so thank you. So just to get into today's topic, I wanted to see if you could tell me a little bit about why you're interested in this topic of, you know, maybe somatic symptoms of trauma as well as embodied healing and maybe why it's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have been working with survivors of different forms of interpersonal violence, primarily interpersonal that exists within intimate partnerships or experience of sexual violence. We also know that a lot of sexual violence occurs within the context of intimate partners. So that's the work that I've really focused my career on in the last 20 years or so. And as I work with clients, and I call the folks that I work with, they are my clients, I'm a clinical social worker. As I have really sat and worked from a clinical space and done sort of therapeutic interventions, we often focus on the head and the mind and the experience of trauma through the lens of narrative storytelling, which is such a critical and important piece of healing and of transformation. But I noticed, especially at the beginning of my career, that folks who have experienced things really carry that survivorship, that lived experience in their body. And we ignore it often in the therapeutic space. In order to really reconnect and think about the idea of healing as reconnection, as fostering a sense of holistic experience and really centering a person in their whole self, we can't ignore the body and what's coming from the information that we can glean from it.
Definitely. So I know one question that a lot of people might have is like, how does trauma even come up as a somatic symptom? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? And you know, talking about that mind-body connection that you were just referencing, what does trauma even look like when it's coming out as, you know, a physical somatic symptom?
Yeah. And I think that the answer is sort of, everything. There are so many different ways that folks experience trauma in their body. So Bessel van der Kolk is a local psychiatrist, and he's done so much work, but a sentinel body of literature that so much of this work is connected to is his book, The Body Keeps the Score, right? Yeah. And so that book really talks about the ways in which it's both trauma is symptomatic and it's also really asymptomatic. So a lot of folks who have experienced trauma, it's not that they feel certain things in their body, it's often that they don't feel certain things in their body. And so we really want to think about both what's coming forward. So maybe a sense of agitation, tension, sometimes it's chronic pain, discomfort, and sometimes it's really profound disconnection and a sense of lack of feeling, lack of interoceptive capacity. So that ability to sit and notice what am I experiencing in myself and in my body? So I think it's kind of both of those. We often talk of what's present, like symptoms, but like I said, I think often it's what's not happening.
Yeah. So when you think about that, either what is happening or what's not happening, you know, can someone be, you know, physically overall healthy? You know, I don't have chronic illness. I don't have diabetes. I don't have something like as serious as cancer, but can you still experience those maybe somatic symptoms like headaches and just be overall healthy? I know sometimes it can be confusing to figure out, are you feeling this because you're sick or are you feeling this because you've experienced a trauma? So, you know, can you still be this person who maybe runs every single day, but you're still experiencing these symptoms?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that is a really great, the sort of mythology of what trauma looks like, that yes, it absolutely can lead to poor health outcomes. We can see we can see ways in which health is impacted, and it can also coexist with health, with wellness. And I think that's sort of the issue around the disconnect or the lack of symptoms. A lot of the survivors I work with are survivors of sexual traumas. So we can think about something that's present, which might be chronic pelvic pain, different forms of pain, discomfort that are situated in parts of the body. And we can also think about lack of feeling and this really strong dissociative experience of connecting with a part of the body, and someone could be very well, very fit, have no other sort of biological symptoms, and also experience a sense of like profound disconnect from their body.
Yeah. So, and kind of going back to a different piece of that question is you're talking about, you know, sometimes that pain or a feeling is very centralized to a specific part of the body. So how can one person or maybe even a provider, so the individual experiencing that those feelings or a provider, recognize the difference between having this being a product of trauma or a product of something else?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's often about asking questions and really listening to the story, and understanding, from this holistic place, what are the things that we can address that are symptomatic, and how can we, really ask and get you connected to specialty care if that's what a patient needs and is asking for. But then also stepping away and really talking through, tell me about what is happening in your body. Tell me when it happens, what it feels like, what is the information that you can give to me? And is there a story that's connected to this part of yourself? And it does feel like that's sort of a therapeutic intervention to kind of ask for that broad, sort of more expansive conversation. But folks can often really identify, like, this is a place that I've been touched in this way, and it feels really, it's a really sensitive place for me, or this happened to me, and oh, come to think of it, as I'm telling this story, this is what happened during that time.
Yeah.
And this is the part of my body that I feel that I want to talk about or address.
Yeah. So how do you think that impacts treatment from a provider's, you know, stance, as a clinician or, you know, as a primary care physician, how do you think that recognizing that impacts treatment? And I know sometimes people will say, or you hear like kind of like this hot take of, you know, I don't feel listened to by my provider. And how do you think that coming to our patients with this holistic view impacts treatment, both for a provider and for a patient?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much. You know, we think about trauma as disconnect, right? The severing of connection to self, to community, to others, to memories or assumptions about the world. And so the sort of reconnection, that is the sort of first stage of healing and transformation. And so seeing when a provider sees the patient as a whole person, mm-hmm. as the experiences, not just as the experiences that they've been through, but as someone that's coming forth that's saying, you know, these things, all of this is connected. Mm-hmm. My health, my presentation, my symptomatology that I might be really aware of, the things that I'm like also not aware of that might be elicited through storytelling. Mm-hmm. I think it really humanizes and offers that space to feel connected and to really notice that like this is all a part of my wellness.
Yeah. Awesome. So now moving into the other piece that you're very well versed in is embodied healing. So if you could tell us what that is and maybe some of the benefits that come with embodied healing.
Absolutely. So embodied healing is a really just like broad concept of integrating mind-body connection into really intentionally into a path of healing. So trauma treatments often include some forms of embodied healing, but I think that there's a lot more energy around really exploring the types of treatment options that might be available to folks. And the thing that I have found myself really drawn to and have gotten certification in is the trauma center through JRI has a certification program for trauma-sensitive yoga. So it's yogic movement. And there's a lot of, there's a whole other podcast we could do about sort of like decolonizing yoga and yoga. Yeah. Like it's a very different like conversation, but what it comes down to is movement, right? And like being connected to your body and having the space to really think from this place of intuitive feeling and reconnection. And sometimes feeling and being embodied is really, really painful and painful psychologically. It's really emotionally fraught. It can feel uncomfortable. There's all sorts of things that can go along with it. And so the embodiment is the holding of space to experience, because psychological therapy is often holding space for the discomfort and really exploring the emotional intensity of hard feelings. And so how do you recreate a similar space for somatic experiences? Mm-hmm. So that's how I conceptualize embodied yeah. healing, this really intentional creation of space to be situated in one's body mm-hmm. and to feel, to experience, and to do it in a safe way. Mm-hmm. And to move through it. And, you know, that it also has to be contemporaneous to psychological work as well. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the benefits of embodied healing, maybe that you've seen personally or that is in the literature as well?
Yeah, there's really great literature, definitely often specific to sexual violence survivors. But the sense of reconnection to self, the feeling of really diminishing the fragmentation and that sense of like, I don't know where I am. I can't ground myself in the present, and being able to come from a place that is more emotionally regulated in this like embodied way, as opposed to always being in one's head and saying like, oh, I need to like stop these thoughts, really coming from this place of, okay, I can hold this in my body. I can sit with it. And I can use that as a tool to help me in other ways.
Yeah. So do you have maybe an example of mm-hmm. a time where you worked with a patient, you know, clinically and then also with embodied healing and that you saw that there were significant changes? And can you talk about what those changes may have been?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a client that I've worked with for many years. She is a survivor of adult domestic violence. She's in a long-term partnership that was very violent and is also a survivor of childhood sexual trauma and other forms of trauma. And when we first started working together, it was through domestic violence, something that happened in our partnership. and it was crisis. And so our work was very much about really attending to the present, what was happening. And as we started to do more work together, we started to do some mindfulness work, so guided meditation. And so that guided meditation work moved into more movement as she started to talk about, she is also a nurse. And so she was talking about some chronic pain that she had. And obviously she's like on her feet all day. It's reasonable that she experiences a lot of just fatigue. Mm-hmm. And so over time, and I'm talking like 10 years, mm-hmm. Over time, the work that we started to do together, what surfaced for her was this feeling of being able to connect with the pain that she held in her body that was connected to her really early childhood experiences of trauma. Mm-hmm. And the way that she would be really tense as a like protective stance, and really recalling the ways in which she would try to keep herself safe, mm-hmm. and position her body as a child. And so these like really long-term habits that were formed in her body that were defensive and protective and really helpful ended up putting her in a place where she was experiencing like just really ongoing tension and holding, carrying herself in a way that was painful. Yeah. And so moving through that sort of connection, as we were able to do some yogic movement where she could say, you know what, this is where it hurts. And then we could talk about and her experiences of remembering how she would experience sort of having to close in, like bring her body in, and being able to hold herself differently.
Yeah. So does embodied healing, that form of treatment happen within like a therapy session? Does it happen like in a group? What does that look like?
Yeah. So it can be both. With this specific client, my work has always been individual, and that is like one sort of, it's one way that the TCTSY, that's my certification, the trauma-sensitive yoga, can be offered individual. So you can do individual sort of joint therapy movement sessions, but it's also a group practice. So the idea being that it's actually not based on in talk, it's based in really being embodied and the shared experience. So the shared authentic experience of movement, with the understanding that anything gleaned from that is taken to talk therapy, that really ideally it's an adjunctive treatment, that it's not like the primary treatment. It's treatment that is in addition to talking about it.
Yeah. So based on like what you're telling me, for me, it just sounds like this very empowering experience. Mm-hmm. So, one of the principles of trauma-informed care is empowerment, voice, and choice. So how does trauma-informed care maybe influence embodied healing, or how does embodied healing influence trauma-informed care?
Yeah, I love that question, because I think so much what I've like heard from my clients, and I really understand from my own self, is when it's hard to make choices when it feels like you don't have all the information, mm-hmm. and our body gives us so much information. And so that idea of what's most comfortable for you, what would you like me to do? Or, you know, if a provider is saying, what, here are some choices around how we can move through this appointment together. When one is not able to connect and elicit that information from their body, it's really hard to feel like you're empowered to make a choice. And so that like restoration of connection to oneself somatically can feel so empowering and come to this place of, I'm making this informed choice that really is about my whole self. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I think about it and have really seen that in my clients.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So in closing, if there's like one thing that you would want the listeners to take away, whether it be about embodied healing or about the somatic symptoms of trauma or trauma-informed care in general, what would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I think about embodied healing, I think about the fact that historically so many cultures, so many communities have integrated different forms of embodiment in connection and in creating community and in sort of ritualizing the ways that we all heal and take care of ourselves and take care of others. And we've lost a lot of that. And so much of it is like reclaiming what those rituals might be. How do you derive meaning from the movement and the physical movement? And so it might feel like this sort of nebulous, like what abstract thing, but it's like so ingrained in who we are. And folks like really do want to come and have the experience of being seen and being connected to their whole selves. So
I think something that is often talked about is that like trauma is just pervasive, right? It's not this like one thing. And a lot of times people think about, well, how do I fix it and how do I work on that? But I really appreciate this context that you're bringing, that it's not like we're going to fix it, but we're going to heal you and you're going to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think like we were just saying, it's empowering, but it's also just this genuine, holistic way to go about the world. And it changes the way people experience the world. And I think that's amazing. So I also think it's very cool that, you know, I haven't really heard too much about embodied healing, but so I'm not sure if it's like this like mainstream type of treatment, but it definitely plays a huge role on, you know, survivors of different forms of violence. And I think it's a really impactful way to not victimize further survivors, because that's what they are. They're not victims, they're survivors. So thank you, Jess, for joining me today and having this conversation. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and love that you're doing this.
Thanks. So for updates throughout the week or to ask us any questions, please follow us on Twitter at ALO Boston, and make sure to rate us and leave comments for things that you like, or even maybe some topics that you'd like to see us cover. So don't forget to tune in next week, where we will be talking about intentional violence and domestic violence intervention services. But until then, we'll be counting down the minutes on TikTok.